Okay. I'll pass that down to council, please. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-51, Wolf Properties Incorporated.
This is application to consider.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're still in session here. Appreciate it if you would leave the this area quickly and quietly, and you may talk all you like out in the lobby or on the courthouse steps. Okay, go ahead, Shane.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, body-bodying 155 acres into 184 lots, and a waiver from the forested buffer requirements located north and south of Route 24, 1,200 feet east of Road 493 and Road 514. I'll pass down a copy of the applicant's response to the plus comments. That'll be made a part of the record. The Technical Advisory Committee report of March 21st of this year will also be made a part of the record. And on December the 11th, we received a letter from Brian Hall, Principal Planner at Office of State Planning Coordination. At the request of the developer, I have reviewed the proposed forest buffer for the plus application for Tuscany Creek and find that it is sufficient to meet the current Sussex County forest buffer requirements and have no objections to the proposed buffer. He forwarded a copy of the buffer to Kyle Hoyd, the Department of Agriculture. However, they didn't provide us with a copy of the buffer. That'll be made a part of the record, and that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Ms. Balliet.
Good evening, gentlemen. Heidi Balliet with the law firm of Tunnel & Razor. I'm here with the applicant. His name's Jim Wolf. He's to the, my right, and he is the president of Wolf Properties Incorporated, the applicant. The landowner is actually an LLC, TEM LLC. We do have a few members. Mr. Wolf is also a member of that. We also have Ed McGuire and Bill Turner with us as well.
You got some infiltrators from Maryland with you.
We do.
Oh, okay.
Also with me this evening presenting is John Salm with Salm Engineering, right here, and Matthew Metz, who's with Charles Murphy Associates, who's the surveyor. Okay, I do preliminarily have two handouts. One is the 99C, and pictorial of what's on the easel. Our application is for a standard subdivision of land for a single-family residential community. The applicant's request is for 181 lots. The total site is 153 acres. There's two parcels across the road from one another. The north side is 32.49 acres. It will encompass, in our proposal, 29 lots, and it will also house the central sewer system, which you'll hear me mention later. On the south side is the second phase, which is 120.51 acres. It will encompass 152 lots, and that's where the bulk of the stormwater management is concentrated. The total open space for the site would be 41.54 acres, which is about 27% of the total site. And our site density, which we're requesting, is about 1.2 units per acre. For the record, I have handed out the 99-9C requirements, which I'll just summarize briefly. There are 17 items. The first is the integration of the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain. The development layout and design was dictated by the existing terrain and surrounding landscape, so there's not a huge amount of a grading going on. And the most prominent feature on the property is the Tasaki Branch, which is a natural stream corridor, and that stream and its associated wetlands were set aside from the developed areas, and they will be left in a natural state. Number two, which is the minimal use of wetlands and floodplains, there is no planned development in the wetlands or the floodplains. The wetland impact has been limited to the minimum necessary for the outfalls, just for the stormwater management basins. Number three, preservation of natural and historical features. I will note that there is a cemetery on the site, and it has been delineated. The state archaeologist's office has been working with the applicant, and we have actually set that area aside so it can actually even be accessible from the streets. Number four, preservation of open space and scenic views. This is a standard AR1 subdivision, and we chose to leave about 27% of the project area for that permanent open space. Number five, minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil removal and grade changes. The subdivision design minimizes the clearing and grading changes, and we'll actually discuss the forest buffer. Much of the forest in the area is actually going to be in the forested buffer area, and we'll discuss that very shortly. But the subdivision covenants and restrictions will govern the retention of the natural and planted areas that are there as well. Screening of objectionable features. The subdivision will be fully screened with natural and planted landscape buffers. It is the applicant's intent to begin planting the vegetative buffers where there isn't some already, so that can begin to grow early on. There will be on-site wells on the lots, but the sewer system would be a central system. And I do have a letter to hand out, and Brian Carball is with us from Artesian, and he supplied us with the letter. That is on the central sewer system would be on the north side parcel. Number nine, the prevention of pollution in surface groundwater. With the sewer system, there is a groundwater discharge system. There will be no surface water discharge, and the central sewer system will be continually monitored by DENREC, as well as Artesian, who would be operating it to ensure groundwater protection. Number 10, minimization of erosion and sedimentation. The subdivision will have essentially located stormwater management basins, which will minimize the potential for flooding while maximizing the groundwater recharge. Large areas of the site will be left with natural forest cover, which will promote additional flood mitigation and groundwater recharge. Number 11, provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement. There will be two common entrances that will be diametrically opposed to one another off of the road, and the applicant is actually currently working with DelDOT on design plans for that as well. The internal roads will be private roads and will meet the Sussex County standards. Number 12, the effect on surrounding property values. The subdivision, we believe, will enhance the local property values. Number 13, the preservation and conservation of farmland. The subdivision is consistent with the property's low-density agriculture residential zoning classification. And the number 14, effect on schools. The property owners who would be the potential buyers in the subdivision will contribute to the tax base of Sussex County, which funds the schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Number 15, the effect on area roadways. As I said earlier, we're working with DelDOT, and if they require any acceleration, deacceleration lanes, we'll be installing those, and the road it is very clearly visible, so there shouldn't be any impact in a negative way. 16, compatibility with other area land uses. The subdivision, we feel, is compatible with the other land uses, with it being agriculture, residential. Most of the uses in the area are consistent with that, and with us being residential, we certainly do meet that compatible item. Number 17, the effect on area waterways. There is no development planned in the entire waterway course, so there will be no impact on that. In addition, the comprehensive plan places the site in a low-density area. Under the guidelines for housing types, the plan recommends single-family detached homes, which the applicant intends to build those homes as stick-built homes. And our plan meets those requirements of the Sussex County ordinances. There will be amenities offered in the community. There is a plan for a clubhouse, a multi-use recreation area, which they're in the process of designing now. There would be street lighting in the community. Sidewalks are not planned, but they're doing that in light of the gently graded grassy shoulder areas off of the 20-foot wide roads. And there's ample parking in the driveway, so there shouldn't be any need to park on the street. They're planning a gatehouse at the entrance. There is no plan to install a private gate, but they are putting a gatehouse in at this time. No mobile homes would be permitted, and there will be deed restrictions, which have actually been made a part of the record. Next, the agency comments do not object to this site. In fact, the applicant has been working with several agencies already, including DLDOT, DENREC, Sussex Conservation, the Department of Agriculture, and, as I said earlier, the State Department of Historical and Cultural Affairs because of the cemetery that's on the site. And we're in the process of finalizing the plans and incorporating the conditions that those agencies have recommended. The proposed location will serve a need in the community by providing housing and desirable single-family community. The land use and development trends in the area indicate the highest and best use for this site to be a residential single-family community. The proposed location and use will not have an adverse effect on surrounding property values, and it's suitable for this type of housing. As for the notations on the application, as well as the notes in the written record, the applicant's request includes a waiver from the forested buffer requirements. And the reason for this request is that the applicant proposes to have the forested buffer included within the lots as they've been laid out in the design, and it was required to receive a waiver for that. The intent of the applicant, and should minimize the county concerns, is to have deed restrictions. And attached to the 99C handout that I gave to you are proposed forested restrictions to eliminate the possibility that a lot owner could remove any of those trees or disturb that area. And we'll also have the engineer address some of those buffer requirements as well. And I would also note, as Mr. Abbott noted, that Brian Hall from the Office of State Planning has approved the forested buffer as it was proposed based on his letter in the file dated December 11th. Lastly, the granting of the conditional use is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan in that it promotes the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County, and the approval of the subdivision is consistent with the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. In closing, I would respectfully request that you approve the application, and I will transition to the engineer for any additional technical details for the plan. So, Mr. Song, would you like to come forward?
Good evening. For the record, John Song, President J.W. Song Engineering, 62 North DuPont Highway, Selbyville. I'm a Delaware registered engineer. I was involved in the planning of Tuscany Creek, and Ms. Bailey had touched on the 17 minimum standards. I'm not going to go over those standards again. What I will do is I wanted to highlight a number of items that weren't talked about so far very briefly that we used in the design. The very first thing that we did in this design is we wanted to have a relatively low density subdivision. We have 153 acres and only 181 lots. The density is 1.16 lots per acre, and we were able, by minimizing the lot size and by minimizing the impervious area in the roadway, to come up with an open space, even though it's a standard subdivision of 27%, and I think we're very happy that we were able to do that. I'd like to point out just a couple of features on the plan here. There were a number of forest blocks that were existing, mostly associated with the stream quarter and a tax ditch in the back of the south property. In general, they were all left intact, and as you can see from the aerial photo, they're also intact with other forest that's on other properties, making very, very large forested blocks. It was the intent of the developer to do the absolute minimum of clearing to allow single-family lots, and we will be restricting any clearing in the existing forest, other than what is the minimum that's required for construction of single-family homes. We'll actually be padding out these building sites, so this is where the people will be building. Another aspect, there was a number of buffers that are required by code, but there's a number of buffers that weren't required by code that the developer volunteered and offered throughout the community to soften the appearance and the feel of this subdivision from any surrounding and adjoining properties. In closing, I'd like to add that there is some extensive landscaping that is planned out on route number 24. We left a very, very wide open spot open here, and instead of having 150-foot wide lots and a very, very narrow entrance on this part of the property, we're going to have some extensive landscaping and decorative ponds there, transitioning with a gatehouse-type feature without a gate. And we're running that through with the fire marshal also to make sure it's all going to be compatible with their apparatus that comes in. We do have a boulevard entrance, which will allow the fire marshal to come in either side for safety if that ends up being a concern. It'll be wide enough to come through the gatehouse feature there, and that will be the same
on the north. On the north, we will have a little bit more of an extensive buffering around where the sewer treatment plant disposal area will be, and that's going to be designed by Artesian, and they're working with Denrick on that right now.
If you have any further questions, we'll be happy to take those from you.
All righty, well, we'll find out. And we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Okay. Well, Mr. Balliet, I'm going to let Mr. Johnson address one of the issues we have. I'm sure he'll get to that. He's very good at addressing that issue that we have. What's the distance from the wetlands to the property lines? Looks like they're all the way up to the...
There's buffers that were negotiated through the PLUS process. The minimum buffer on some of the shallower lots, I believe, is 30 or 35 feet, and some buffers are as high as 80 feet, and that is shown on the plat.
So are the lot part of the buffer?
That will be a plat setback, and that plat setback will show that there's no building within that area.
So the lot lines are in the buffer area?
The lot line.
Let me rephrase the question. Yeah. Are there wetlands in any of the lots?
There are no wetlands in any of the lots. And there's no impact to wetlands except for our two stormwater outfalls, which have to outfall into the wetlands.
That's all right. Appreciate that. Is there sufficient room on both sides of the Route 24 to institute a bus stop if needed by the school district?
There is sufficient room on the south project. The north project becomes a little tight. We are in discussions with DelDOT of exactly what improvements they're going to require there, but there would be sufficient room on the south side, but it does not appear that there'd be sufficient room on the north.
But what would the people in the on the north area supposed to do as far as get to the school bus?
The circulation pattern in the north area is three cul-de-sacs so that we did not have to do any impact near the back by the tack stitch. That would allow a school bus to go in and turn around and load in the boulevard entrance in one side of the boulevard.
Sometimes schools are not allowed to go into private developments.
Understood.
Okay. So you'll look into that, though?
Sir,
yes.
That it would be
absolutely.
You could put a bus stop there if needed. The stormwater management ponds, it seemed to be awful large. Can you address that, please?
Yeah, there's a number of feature ponds that are going to be the end of the stormwater management basins, and those feature ponds actually aren't going to be counted in the volume because they're going to be actually filled to a higher elevation than the storage requirements are. So we're going to have a couple of feature ponds at the ends of the stormwater basins that aren't going to count in the volume.
So they're going to be on this... Yeah, explain. Yeah, show it to me.
As you come into
yeah.
the subdivision, you'll have two ponds.
Yeah.
Okay. And these ponds will not have storage for stormwater management. They'll function with some minimal drainage area and do some water quality, but they don't have storage for stormwater management.
Okay.
The large pond will have feature wet areas in the two ends,
mm-hmm.
and that won't count as stormwater volume. So basically, all our volume calculation is in here. We're also going to have two feature ponds here and one feature pond here. So we're going to have some wet features as we come in, but they won't count for volume. They'll help with water quality. And then we'll have our volume in the back portion of that pond, the center portion of this pond, and the center portion of this pond.
So some will be aesthetic and some will be functional.
And the buffering along, you stated that the along the Route 24, the stormwater management ponds will be buffered. How so?
Okay. We're going to have extensive landscaping to the existing lots on both the east and the west. We're going to have decorative landscaping and 200 feet of pond area to soften the front.
Okay.
And then there'll be lawn underneath that landscaping.
So what would you think the distance between Route 24 and your stormwater management pond would be?
Between the pavement or the right-of-way? Between the pavement, about 35, 40 feet.
Pavement.
About 35, 40 feet.
And then the distance along the buffering along the sewer treatment plant.
Yeah, that's a 50-foot buffer.
50-foot.
Yeah, it'll be densely vegetated.
And you stated there's going to be individual wells?
Mm-hmm.
The tax ditch easements along lot 25, 24, 23, 11, 10, whatever, it looks like the lots go into the tax ditch.
The lots go into the tax ditch, but there's a tax ditch easement on those lots. We met with DENREC, and there is a 50-foot tax ditch easement. Part of it may be vegetated, and part of it needs to be kept clear. 25-foot from top of bank needs to be clear, but the easement is 50-foot from the center line of the tax ditch, so there'll be about a 15- to 18-foot vegetated strip.
Yeah, but there's sufficient room for maintenance.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, 25-foot no-mow. I mean, no vegetation, so they can go in there.
And what's the average lot size? I'm sure you said it a while ago, but the average lot size?
20,000 square feet.
20,000.
That's the minimum.
Yeah. And then please clarify the request for the buffer waiver again, please.
I'll let the engineer. Go ahead.
Okay. Along the this agricultural line here, we have a 50-foot agricultural setback. We have provided a 30-foot screening, and actually some of those trees have been planted already, and I think they were evergreen coniferous type trees. We are requesting that this to be allowed in the lot area with deed restrictions.
Why
are you requesting that?
The foresting that is being done, that's actually been done already, will already be established by the time that these homes are built. And with that being the case, if it's protected, then we are able to have that be part of the lots. Also, since the house locations are scripted and we're going to have the deed restrictions, we won't be going back there to clear that at a later date. It's not a situation where we'll have to do it for stormwater. We won't have to do it for ditches. The homeowner won't go back there. So we're going to have that buffer already established before they build the homes.
What does that have to do with where the line's drawn? Because typically buffers are not permitted, and typically buffers aren't in the lot.
Understood that.
What is the hardship here that is requiring you to ask us to waive that?
Okay, I think I'm understanding the question just a little bit better now. We have a number of lots that are well above the minimum. There are a few of the lots with the layout of how we had to put the roads to require these being close to the minimum. If they did not go into that buffer, then they would not meet the minimum lot size in this configuration with this number of lots.
How many lots are we talking about?
The lots that could not have that, I'd say you're talking about no more than 12 lots.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Mr.
That's all right.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, that's fine.
But I've been wondering about that since they asked that.
Mm-hmm. That's all the questions I have right now.
Our answer, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was there any thought to doing any stub streets on north or south side?
We had some thought about that over for this property, but we had some strong indications that there was no development potential over here. The landowner does not want to develop that property. We obviously wouldn't want to do any stubbing over here. This is the stream course. There's a major tax ditch here. That would be a big hurdle to go over. And in this direction, you are already developing a sewage treatment plant here. So that's the reason why we didn't have any, interparcel streets planned.
And they have discussed with the neighbor where he said there was no development potential. They have strong feelings about that.
If I were a landowner on the north side of 24 and I owned somewhere in the vicinity of this sewage treatment plant disposal area, what would you imagine my cares and concerns would be, and how would you allay those cares and concerns that I might have?
Well, perhaps
about the location of that as an area.
It might be good to ask the representative for Artesian to comment about how the treatment plant would function and if there would be any ill effects to the neighbors.
As that hypothetical landowner...
Yeah, Ms. Ehr, I need you to introduce yourself.
Yes, you do. My name is Brian Carbaugh. I'm employed as the Director of Engineering Design for Artesian Wastewater Management. Our offices are at 664 Churchman's Road, Newark, Delaware. as that hypothetical landowner in the vicinity of the wastewater system, you would have concerns about odor. You would have concerns about visual impact. You would have concerns about groundwater quality. And all of those concerns are addressed, but I'm sure you would have them to start off. The wastewater treatment facility itself is completely enclosed within a building. It's an aerobic process. It's not odorous. We have very similar treatment facilities at our existing projects at Beaver Creek and Heron Bay. As far as groundwater quality, we have good operating history with these treatment facilities. Even at the lowest flows, which is the time where you have the greatest concern, whether you can meet the minimum standard 10 milligrams per liter in the nitrogen in the groundwater discharge, we found that even with a minimum number of units on the project, when it's the treatment plant really doesn't have its full load to operate at full capacity, we're still able to meet that 10 milligram per liter discharge requirement with this type of treatment plant. The developer and site planner have included a kind of an extra feature on this project is an extensive green space around the wastewater system, which would break up, even though the disposal area is the rib disposal area we've talked about before. It's kind of a pastoral area. It's not a a big mounds or anything. It's relatively flat with a relatively shallow 2-foot berm separating each basin. They have proposed a green space all around that, a wooded buffer to break that up, so it's not even visually wouldn't be a concern. Noise-wise, again, being enclosed in a building, this type of treatment system doesn't use conventional compressors or blowers, which make the most noise, although even those inside a properly constructed building don't have any external impact. This actually uses an aspirating pump, so there's really no blower or mechanical noise from the treatment plant. So I think a number of people have expressed those kinds of concerns when we talk about community wastewater facilities such as this, similar facilities. And I think now that we have a number of projects in Sussex County, I think a lot of people have seen that that those concerns are addressed across the board.
And if I were sitting here for the first time, this were my first hearing that I may have been to and wasn't, the rib that you mentioned, that would be the rapid infiltration basin
which in your backyard septic system, you have an infiltration system, but you fill that infiltration area up with stone and then you put some dirt on the top, because the water that comes out of your backyard system just has gone through a septic tank that has a lot of odor, so you cover everything up to address the odor. The rapid infiltration system is the same infiltration, because we're just trying to get the water to infiltrate into the ground, but it's left open because we provide a high level of treatment beforehand. So the water that goes out to infiltrate doesn't have any odor, it doesn't have any solids, it's just a clean, clear water that goes out into the basins and infiltrates in. From an operational standpoint, we have much better control over the treatment because it is a mechanical treatment plant. We also have much better control over the infiltration, making sure that things continue to infiltrate and go into the water goes into the ground and recharges the groundwater the way we want, because we're there at the infiltrative surface. And if there was to be some clogging, we could go in there and plow that up or scrape a little off or do something to rejuvenate things and maintain infiltration capacity.
Is that area typically fenced, or is it left open?
Yes, there would still, even with the wooded buffer there would still be a fence. It's not a dangerous area, but it is an area where you just don't want to, you want to make sure people just don't wander through the rapid infiltration basins. The building's secure, the ribs are fenced with a 42-inch, it's not a 6-foot chain link or anything, but just a low fence to keep people from wandering through.
So it would look like a horse pasture?
Yes.
Something like that. Would I be concerned about possible storage of corrosive or flammable or explosive material in around this?
There's really no chemicals per se that are kept at the wastewater facilities. We do disinfect the water, but we use UV light, ultraviolet light to disinfect. So there are no corrosive, the chlorine chemicals that are used in other wastewater facilities. We don't have any of that. A couple of the times the guys use lime to adjust pH, but that's not a particularly dangerous or corrosive chemical.
And how about response to any breakdown in the system or any maintenance?
We have operators that operate throughout Sussex County. We actually have a Sussex County office in the Harbison area. Actually, it's one of the projects that's been before you. We're looking to relocate that just across the road in the Cool Spring area. but this is actually our biggest central wastewater operations areas in Sussex County, and this is where most of our operators are located, and they're available 24 hours a day for response to any incident. They're hooked up to the wastewater facilities by auto dialers, and we're actually implementing a more of a SCADA program at this time for our wastewater systems that give them even more data, but they always have all the alarms that dial in to our central facilities who can contact our operators, and then they also dial in directly to the operators.
Any building that would be in that site, is that generally residential in appearance?
The building here would be more agricultural in appearance, kind of a pole building style building. We're a little taller with the wastewater facilities. Doesn't lend itself as much. And again, with that pastoral, as you said, that looks like a horse pasture behind, kind of matches well with that. Looks like a little barn and pasture over in the corner of the subdivision.
Got to turn it in.
In the past, I believe we've had a Mr. Carball.
That's me.
From Artesian in front of us that said he's been in wastewater all of his life.
Are you? Yeah, and I'm wrinkled, too.
That would be you.
Pretty much, yes, sir.
That's all I have.
Right, Mr. Johnson.
Well, from Mr. Gordy's comments, I guess part of it's fallen on me. And Mr. Robinson, to clarify for the record, it's not a requirement that the applicant provide us with a exhibit booklet. Is that correct?
No, that's not, right. Not a requirement.
But I view it as a personally as a an aid to myself as a commissioner and as a courtesy. Because here I have a booklet for a 25-lot development. And then I have another nice booklet, a little thicker, for a 49-lot. And then the last applicant gave me a nice notebook. But all that aids myself and my fellow commissioners an opportunity to review the information ahead of time so I possibly can formulate some intelligent questions. And the problem that is presented for me this evening is I'm given a lot of information about a big project, and I don't know where to start. I mean, I read as fast as I can, but unfortunately I'm not a speed reader. And it greatly concerns me that I have a project of this size and nature without having the exhibit booklets ahead of time for my perusal. And, of course, I understand I can go to the county office and look at the files, you know, when I might have spare time, which I don't have a whole lot of. But I know some of you folks have been in front of us before, and I would appreciate it as an extension of a courtesy to myself as a commissioner and my fellow commissioners if you could summarize things and present it to us in a formalized fashion ahead of time. What I am aware of is that the comments that are part of the plus comments, the TAC comments, they're all part of the public record, and I certainly have access to that material to formulate any questions or concerns I have. But quite truthfully, I can do a whole lot better if I have it in a concise manner. I do have a concern, one of which is the responses to the plus comments. Excuse me, another concern I have. Was this sent to them on March 19th? I have a March 19th date down at the bottom of this. Or when did you send your responses to
the plus? Yes, that's it. Yes.
Okay. Well, as part of, are you familiar with the plus process in terms of their sending their responses to you, you responding to them, and perhaps they might wish to respond again?
Yes, I am. Part of the plus comments were addressed by our office. Part of them were addressed by other consultants also. So that's a partial response, but yes, I am.
And I for one, am always inclined to leave the record open for the receipt of the plus's response. Mr. Chairman, I don't know where to go with questions, so at this point I'll defer any questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
Where is the cemetery?
The existing graves are located, they've been located by the surveyor.
So then, so there's two entrances? Is that a walking trail, or what is that? There's
this feature here?
Mm-hmm.
That's landscape buffer.
You buffer the cemetery?
There's landscape buffers throughout the project. That particular buffer there is to buffer the back of the home view out over towards the grave plot. Yes.
Okay, and the area between, say, 72 and 71 is, you're kind of ice, is that a walking trail to the cemetery?
No. The cemetery has access right from the road.
Okay. Okay, and is the plan just showing us water on that site, or is that just, what is that light blue area?
That's the cemetery.
Okay.
Those are the existing graves.
Okay. Well, okay. And the, you mentioned that on all the properties that are, that the property lines go into the buffer zone, you would then put a homeowner, you can't forest those trees?
A deed restriction, that's correct. They cannot be cut if they're over a certain diameter.
But they would maintain them if the waiver was so granted. It would be their responsibility to maintain the area, but
yes.
Not do any cutting.
Yes,
it would be done through actually the homeowners association, because it would be a restricted area. If they can't remove it, if there's something that there's a tree that falls, it would actually fall in the homeowners association to deal with and direct who would be the party to maintain it.
And they would access that through the existing lot owner's
yes.
driveway.
Mm-hmm. Or they would allow access areas to be able to get to that area.
Well, that's what I don't see.
It's not densely wooded.
I don't see any access area to that dedicated easement area.
Then the deed restrictions would also include the right to go through the lot owner's property.
Okay. And that would be, and that over on the side by the non-tidal wetlands, the that corner over there, the lot lines just kind of go
stop
and
at
stop.
The wetland line. They stop at the wetland.
They stop at the wetland line. Okay. Would there be any markings or anything that would say this is where your property ends?
There'll be property markers, yes.
But will there be anything marking the wetlands?
Only the property corners.
Sorry, that was my question. You mentioned that there would be a gatehouse, but no gate. Is that for both sides?
There'll be a gatehouse type feature, so it'll look a little bit larger than just like a fence, but there's no intention to put a gate and make it a gated.
Okay, but is it on both sides of the neighborhood? Is there one on the...
It will be on both sides, that's
so there's
correct.
One on
yes.
the... Okay. And what were the amenities again?
There's going to be a clubhouse area, and currently they're at the point where they're trying to figure out through their market research exactly what to put there. Things that had been discussed are a possibility of a tennis court, possibility of open grass area, people can do croquet or horseshoes, possibility of a pool, but we haven't formalized that area right now. We're working on that plan right now.
And how much acreage is that?
This is approximately 2 acres.
Is there any, I probably asked this question once before, there's no essentially walking trail. You're not going to use that buffer strip to get to the
That was not the intention. This is a closed road subdivision. It does not have the swales. We're going to have roll curb on the side. We want it to minimize the impervious area. There's the ample, gently graded grass area for walking on the side, so there's no walking trails. Everywhere you would go through on the road network, with the exception of whatever is required by DelDOT out front. They're requiring a 15-foot dedicated easement for a 10-foot multi-use path.
And that's on both sides of the road?
On both sides, that's correct.
Okay. That's all. That's all. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Counts.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding a couple of things. The waiver, if it were granted, is just for the farm portion or the entire buffer that you show around?
I believe it's just that line.
Just this line.
Just the one property line on the one side.
That's correct.
Nearest the farm, not lot 59 and 60 or 32, 33 or anything like that. Okay. The access to the stormwater management pond, the bottom one?
There's an easement.
Yeah, okay.
Or there's actually a fee simple strip with the outlot. That's part of the outlot for the stormwater basin.
Oh, there
And then
is.
There's a maintenance easement in the back of everybody's lot.
Okay. What's the green thing to the right then?
That's a tree.
No, I mean the appendage to the that connects the road.
Right here.
On the right hand side. On the right hand side of the
right. Here.
That.
Trees. Mm-hmm. That's just a landscape buffer that the developer wants to put between those lots because there's no pond in the back.
Oh, okay.
He's gone over.
Not on the other side.
Yeah.
You want it on one end, but not on the other end.
We talked about doing it here, but what's going to end up happening here is there's going to be a lot of trees that are going to get left here.
Oh, okay.
Because that's already in a wooded area, so that's why we didn't feature that on that side.
All the questions, because it's presented a little bit different than what we're used to. I guess my last question. In your response to the plus comments on page 3 under water resource protection areas, somebody says the stormwater management basin has been relocated to not conflict with the area of excellent recharge. Can you explain that?
That was me, yes.
Can you explain that to me? Because it looks to me like it's in both of them are in exactly the same location.
This stormwater basin used to go all the way out back to lot 121. We had a reconfiguration here, and we pulled this basin back several hundred feet out of the recharge area to leave those existing trees back there. We also truncated the stormwater portion of the basin, which is the deep portion of the basin, and we made this just an aesthetic pond, which will provide a higher level of recharge than a stormwater basin that will have a fluctuating level and may fall during the summer.
And the upper pond is not in the excellent recharge area?
It wasn't in the wooded area, and I believe that came mainly where it was the wooded area.
The actual recharge area was the wooded area, you're
That's
saying?
What I recall is that it was the wooded areas, and that's what we're trying to do is minimize the intrusion into the woods with the stormwater basin.
I think you might want to check the records again because I believe from what I looked at, the actual recharge area is essentially the center of your development.
It's hard to be sure without having a booklet in front of
you. Yeah, well, I don't, my recollection is from when we went to the PLUS meeting and prepared for that. My understanding is that's where the excellent recharge area is, essentially where the larger of the two ponds.
I know that we actively pulled this back.
We took it out of the woodlands, but not necessarily the excellent recharge area. Okay. Thank you.
Sure, Mr. Burton, go ahead.
It's 181 lots, right? It's not 184.
181.
Right, okay.
It was originally applied as 184, but it was revised.
Good. Anything else? Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to get my hands around this because the site plan that was submitted that's in the file is different from that drawing. I mean, the wastewater treatment plant area is different. The lots are numbered different. They're laid out different. Is there a preliminary site plan reflecting everything that you've submitted that the commission could even act on?
A number of the differences on the color plan up there have to deal with the PLUS review comments. The plan that I'm looking at here, I believe, has a date
4/17/07.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the 4/17/07 plan from y'all?
August 7th of 06.
We have August 7th.
I don't have an answer for that, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I said, I was just trying to get my hands around it because I know you referred to the drawing, but it's different.
I have a question for you, counsel. If the plan that's being presented to us was not in the file 72 hours before the hearing, can it even be admitted?
Well, you know, I know that there's been situations where there's been minor revisions, you know, at the hearing. I guess it would be up to the commission to decide how they want to handle it, you know, whether it's a minor revision in response to TAC or some comment that's come in late or not. I don't know when the plus comments were completed. I mainly was just trying to figure out, you know, well, if there was one that we had that was more recent.
If it's to our discretion, I don't have too terribly much of a problem, although, you know, guys, you have to give us what you're going to present. You know, I think I'm getting the picture of what went on here, and it's unfortunate, but anyway, go ahead.
That was just the question I wanted to make sure of. I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something, because just for the record, I know that the sewage treatment plant's in the general vicinity, but its configuration's different. The site plan that we have shows 184 lots. The one that's been proposed is actually a reduction to 181. And it reflects some of the changes that were discussed during the presentation. I think they probably went over a lot of the differences between the two, but at the same time, you know, it's not what's in the file. So anyway, I just sort of throw that out there. I wanted to clarify that for the record.
I do apologize. That explains why some of the questions were coming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right,
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
You might want to mention, too, to the audience about the change in our rules of procedure concerning the time period of presenting the materials
right.
to us, effective
yeah.
January 1.
That's right.
I can certainly do that. Just for everybody's benefit that's here, the Planning and Zoning Commission rules were changed this fall so that it used to be 72 hours to submit records. It's now 10 days, so that members of the public have an opportunity to see.
10 calendar days?
10 calendar days.
Yeah, yeah. That gives these folks out here, if any of them want to come look at the file, they've got realistic amount of time, 72 hours.
That takes effect January 1st.
That's okay for us, but it wasn't very good for them.
But it also gives us 10 days as well.
Well, it gives us more time, too. But
if we have a bumper.
Sure. Anything else, counsel?
No, thank you.
I have a question for Mr. Robinson.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Robinson, was the ag notice included in the restrictive covenant?
Bear with me 1 second. It was, yes, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Anything else? Anyone? Council?
Okay.
All right, then. We thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
I actually have...
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have
no, I have three letters that were given to the applicant in support of, so I'll turn those in.
Yeah, okay. Let's pass those down to Mr. Robertson and make sure they're admissible.
Yeah, they're fine because anybody could submit.
Well, that's true. Okay. All right. Good enough. We'll enter them into the record. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-51 Wolf Properties Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-51? Yes, sir. We'll start with you. Give us your name and address, and then you may have the floor.
Tracy Hill, 34740 Susan Beach Road, Laurel.
All right, sir.
I'm acting as adjacent property owner and the chairman of the Sasaki Tax Ditch.
Okay.
It's Sasaki, too.
Okay.
I know that's hard to pronounce sometimes.
Did you pick that name out?
No. As a landowner, like I say, I have a poultry operation. They're saying a lot of wooded area, but it's not. I'm within about 75 foot off the ditch line.
Can you show us on that map where you are?
If I can,
Mr. Somm, would you help him get oriented, please?
He's on the side.
Sharptown Road, I'm on this side here.
Okay.
Yes. Over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're over here.
Yeah, I have a wooded lot.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a wooded.
I mean, what clear farmland and the woods come up. I got, like I said, about a 75.
Okay. I believe you're right in this general vicinity.
Let me see.
Okay. I just wanted to get an idea of where you were talking
but
about.
But it's not a large wooded lot.
in between us. Mm-hmm. And also the wolf has been in and actually cleared some of that forest land prior through this hearing. It's cleared a lot of underbrush and stuff out right up to the tax ditch. We have, like I said, the Saki tax ditch has a 16.5-foot right-of-way on the wolf side.
Right.
But they actually come in and cut before this, is cleared out the underbrush, kind of like opened the woods up, which has not been mentioned so far in this hearing.
Okay.
I think it's just it should have been mentioned.
Okay.
Like I say, the tax ditch concern, as a chairman, I think, you know, we're concerned how much are you going to put any water in our tax ditch, because we're kind of, I shouldn't say maxed out, but the Corps of Engineers won't let us do any more maintenance on the lower end of the tax ditch where the water dumps into. And at times we peek out at that tax ditch to the top. And that is a concern for us, because it seems like 180 some homes could be a lot of water to go somewheres.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, that tax ditch, I'd say probably adjoins, I don't know, 2/3 of that anyway, both sides of 24. And like I say, we're definitely concerned about our maintenance area, which is, like I say, 16.5-foot. We have to get our equipment down, but that's just not enough sometimes. Like, for you taking consideration anywhere that is, maybe not eliminate, you know, the forestry, having the forestry bumper zone in there. And as a, like I say, I have a poultry operation on the other side, and I know that we have the right to farm. But like I say, I got tunnel fans within 75 or 80 feet into that. And I mean, I just want, you know, whoever buys them lots, you know, to feel they know what they're getting into.
Do a smell test.
You're right. You're
and
absolutely
I'd like
right.
to know where the wetlands were on that property, if somebody could show me, because like I say, if...
Son, would you please point out the wetlands?
There's an extensive wetland area associated with the natural stream.
Right. Okay, this, yeah, I'm, well,
okay.
Where I was on the wrong side.
Are you over here?
I'm over, yes.
Okay.
I'm on this side.
You'll have about 800 feet of woods, and yes, there was some underbrush.
But how can it be cleared and it was wetlands? How could it,
they didn't go into the wetlands.
Sir, you need to address your questions to me if you're going to, we're not.
Like I say, I was wondering how that could have been cleared as it was being wetlands and being having dozers and people in there cutting.
I'll find
cutting
out.
Cutting stuff. Yeah. Appreciate that. And like I say, also, is the water, we have got all irrigated land around us. I mean, just about every farm around us. I mean, we pump a lot of water out of the ground. I hope, you know, we did see this summer where there was wells drying up. You're going to put 180-some homes on there. Or, you know, is there going to be a water factor there? I think that's about all I got.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Somm, would you like to address the gentleman's concern about cutting in the wetlands? If you can.
Yeah, there was some thinning of underbrush that was done out in this area here, but it was not done in the wetland area. The wetlands were already flagged by the wetland scientist,
okay.
And nobody went into the wetland
area. All right, sir. That's all we need to know. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
Hello. My name is Tamara Dickerson Ward, and I believe I'm the concerned land owner that Mr. Smith was talking about earlier, and I appreciate you address some of my concerns. I've lived for 22 years right over here, a couple of acres.
Mm-hmm.
My family's owned that land for 50 years at least, 50 plus years, and you will see that I now am going to have in my backyard a sewage treatment plant. I'm a little concerned. I'm concerned about the loss of valuable agricultural land in this area. Come from a long history. Both sides of my family have owned farmland in this area. Concerned about the wetlands. And I'm definitely concerned about the depreciation of my land value.
Mm-hmm.
Someone mentioned earlier about the appreciation of the property. I really question that, especially my property, since I'm going to have a sewage plant in my backyard. Not that you care about my personal life, but I've worked very hard to obtain what I have. 10 years ago, I worked very hard, and I've built a custom-designed, custom-built house on that little piece of property.
and it's basically my retirement that I hope to sell in the future and retire, and I'm really concerned about it depreciating. I did ask Mr. Wilson questions about what this sewage treatment plant was going to look like. I'm a little confused. I don't quite understand all that. I didn't have a chance today to talk with some of the environmental people where I work. I work at Purdue Farms in Salisbury, but I will to try to get some clarity. I think.
Is there something specific that we can try to get an answer for you tonight?
Yes, sir. I was one question. Are there going to be open water basins on that property? Open water. That's a question.
Okay.
And about the depreciation of my property value. I spoke to some people that I work with at Purdue that I know have recently moved into a development that I think is kind of similar. I believe it's called Country Grove between Laurel and Del Mar, Bacon Road, and there is a treatment facility there of some sort. Something similar, I was told. I have no idea. But anyway, I was speaking to a gentleman who recently moved there, and so I asked him, do you have any concerns about the sewage treatment? Odor, noise, whatever. No. This is, okay, that's a good thing. But then he said, but when my wife and I were looking at property, we were offered a lot near that. And she said, absolutely not. We are not going to live or buy a piece of land, the lot that's near the sewage treatment. I thought that was bad. Bad for my property value. And he also has a little concern because wherever they live now, out there in that development, across the way, now it's winter and the foliage is dropping off the trees. They can see it. His wife doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. So that's a concern.
Okay.
I guess that's basically it. Like I said, I've been there a long time. My family's been a long time. And I guess I question why the decision was made to put the sewage treatment plant in what really is the only residential area near this property.
Well, we'll find out.
There's quite a few other homes. There's some other homeowners that have been there for years and years and years. And I was kind of thinking, why not put it back there by the chicken house?
Okay.
All right, whatever.
Well, I'm going to find out for you here in a minute, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Carbaugh, would you step to the microphone, please?
Yes, sir.
The lady has two issues, pretty good ones, actually.
Yes, she does.
Why is the treatment plant where it is, and are there going to be any kind of open drainage type improvements?
The wastewater facility is located where it is because, as with all on-site wastewater systems, DNRC requires us to look at the whole parcel and find the best location, the best soils to put it. So that was the best soil, so that's where we needed to put the system. As far as the wastewater treatment plant, what's going on that parcel is both the wastewater treatment plant as well as the wastewater infiltration area where we put the water out and allow it to seep into the ground. The treatment plant will be up closer to the road in the subdivision, so it'll be further away from your property. The infiltration area, which is the green area that it's a grassed area that's fenced, will act as a buffer between you and the treatment plant. So you shouldn't see the treatment plant as much. I'm familiar with the facility at Country Grove. They wanted a lot of headroom in that building, and that building is extremely tall, making it look out of character with an agricultural building. We try to stay more in a, trying to keep it look more agricultural. In fact, we've started putting these treatment plants about 5 feet into the ground just to cut down on the headroom in the building. Also helps to insulate the treatment plant and give it a little more warmth, which is better for the operation. As far as open water, that area, that infiltration area, is actually divided up, which is kind of the back, it's about the back fat area in that oddly shaped parcel. The back fat area is divided up into 12 parts. Of the 12 parts, 6 of those are active infiltration areas where water will be put, and the other half of that area is reserved. The DNRC requires us to reserve an area in case we need to make them a little bigger or expand anything.
Mr. Carbaugh, excuse me. What are they going to look like?
They're going to look like a grass area. Water will be dosed into those grass areas. The water, the wastewater treated. It'll be clear water when it comes out.
We'll go into on the one, surface.
Will this be discharged onto the surface of the grassed area, one of those six active areas each day? The water will not get particularly deep at all. The entire basin is only 2 feet deep. The water rarely, in fact, I've never seen the water actually extend over the entire basin. There is a little bit of water as it infiltrates down, but basically those areas are dry. There's a little bit of water there, but it's not a pond. It's and the water doesn't stay for any length of time, so there's no concern about mosquitoes breeding or anything like that.
You happen to have a picture of one with you?
I do not, and I apologize.
Next time you come, bring one.
Okay.
I like to see it myself.
And if you were interested in seeing some other projects, I can actually take you and show you some. I'll give you one. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we're just looking at this map, and the soil that is so good where the treatment plant is, it happens to be Evesboro, and there's some here, there's some here, there's some here, there's some here, and there's some over here, none of which are anywhere near the residential part of this.
I was not actually specifically involved during the soils evaluation phase.
Lucky for
but,
you.
Yeah. But what you're seeing there is actually the soil mapping, which is kind of done on a large scale. We actually go out and do these. They're required to kind of recon the entire site with DNREC's review to find the best area. So apparently the best piece of Evesboro
was over there. Okay. That's sort of what I thought you would say, and I appreciate that. And it may, and I'm not saying it isn't true. If that's what it is, that's what it is. And that's the answer to our question. So there we are. And certainly that one trip to a customer, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I'm sure that you could and Mr. Carball would probably be willing to assist you in going to look at one of these facilities so that you can see, maybe go to Country Grove. I'm familiar with Country Grove.
Country Grove is actually run by
well, then I think it would be even more interesting if you would take care of that. So I would encourage you to go look at one is the best thing you could do. Anyone who has a concern would be to just go look at it. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Yes. Okay. The green and then the pink.
Hello, I'm Lori Wilson. I'm a house down from Tamara, huh? And I would actually be diagonal from the treatment system.
Mm-hmm.
I operate a large family child care. I have 14 children, and I know they addressed some of the issues about the safety and how they would take care of things. If something were to go wrong, would I be notified, and who would notify me if there were some type of danger that would be leaking into our water table or anything like that from the septic system? Is that pump something that could happen?
I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that question.
I don't know with this specific system, but I can tell you that these are regulated by DNREC, and so that they test them. And ultimately, that's who approves the system and the type and the monitoring and everything else. Mr. Carbaugh could probably answer that better if there's any specific
anything that I would have to be concerned about, like if something were to happen. Right.
We can certainly ask him if you have any other comments after you.
Yeah, when you're done, we'll ask him.
Well, my other concern was, of course, the gentleman had brought up about the wells and things like that, a lot of wells drying up. I know that was a real concern for me last year, worrying about things like that just from the irrigation systems with the farmland. I worried about that, and I have to wonder also, with that many homes, is that really going to be a concern for us as well?
Okay.
I guess that's basically it.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Carball, would you want to step up here one more time and answer the lady's concern?
Yes, I'd be glad to. As far as the concern regarding groundwater quality, if there were any degradation of groundwater quality, which we do not in any way expect to happen, but we have, as part of the operation, we have monitoring wells that monitor the groundwater. This is a DNREC requirement. that monitor the groundwater right around the disposal area. So if there were to be any changes in the groundwater quality that would adversely impact surrounding areas, they would be caught immediately adjacent to our system. We would be required to do whatever it takes to clean that up. If perchance there, you know, and I'm projecting way beyond anything I ever expect to happen, if there were ever anything that were going to impact your property, we would be required to notify you through DNREC, or DNREC would notify you, and we would be required to make it right. There was another concern. The wells. Oh, the as far as wastewater systems go, and this is pretty much a requirement of DNREC now, is all of our wastewater systems are groundwater discharge based, either through spray irrigation or infiltration. And that's actually an advantage in terms of maintaining groundwater levels, because the water that's pumped out from the wells that will be on this project will be put back into the groundwater through the infiltration area. So we don't get a loss of groundwater. Some municipal systems where you might have wells serving the municipal area, they have pipes that pipe that water over to the other side of the municipal area, and there's a treatment plant, and they discharge that into the river. That water comes up out of the ground, but it goes out into the river, and it's never available to go back into the ground. All these systems are groundwater-based, so they whatever water we take up, we essentially put back. It's kind of a recycling of the resource.
Our answer, thank you, is this tall.
I'm Ruth Tall, and my husband Bill and I own the farm right to the south of this development that's being proposed. We are next door to Tracy Hill. So we have the same kind of concerns that have already been mentioned this evening, but I have one other concern that I haven't heard anybody mention the whole evening I've been sitting here that really bothers me, and that is, now our paper said there were going to be 184 lots, but I understand that's been changed to 181, but still that's only three different. Where are these people going to come from to buy these houses? Because I see so many for sale signs sitting around our place right now that I just am real concerned as to, are we going to just have more houses built that are going to be sitting vacant? Okay.
Well, I don't know quite how to answer you. I think your question is perhaps rhetorical, but it's probably a good one. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. I don't know how to address this, but a question that came in my mind when the chairman of the tax ditch mentioned that the Army Corps would not let them do a maintenance on the south end of that ditch, and I was wondering why they can't do a dip out, or we've been concerning ourselves with this maintenance right-of-way, and I wonder why the why there's a denial or reluctance to allow maintenance.
I doubt that anybody can actually answer that question as to why the Army Corps is doing that.
I have a guess that sometimes I think if the area, the tax ditch affects over 800 acres, that they have to go through a more extensive review, but it's just a hunch I have.
Okay.
I could answer some of that.
We don't normally let people come back a second time, but since Mr. Smith is addressing a specific question, we're going to ask you to come back and answer it for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
Our tax ditch drains approximately 20. We have 23 miles of ditch is what we have draining that. We can't go beyond the maintenance area, which dumps into the pond below that, and we can't go no farther. We have a deadline where it's considered wetlands. And they just, the core, and we have to go through what we have now permitting. Sometimes they do let us dip out what we have there, and sometimes they don't. But like say, I've seen the last 3 years, I know one time we maxed out. We had water to the top, and it's there. I mean, we can't really handle any more water in that tax ditch unless we can get the core to open it up.
So what you're saying is where the ditch actually terminates?
Yeah, where well, it's not really terminates. That's considered wetlands.
Where, you're, where the
maintenance
patch,
area
where
is,
the, yeah,
right.
Yeah, and where that stops, and beyond that, you can't clean out.
Right.
And that's where the problem is.
Exactly. Yeah, if we could get that, we could handle a lot more water, but the Corps will not let us handle it. And like I said, we do max out in that ditch.
Is it running the tussocks?
It dumps in, yes.
It does run into Tussocks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we got about 3 miles there of nothing being done. Mm-hmm. And we had a problem now. And like I said, we drained about 20, we got about 23 miles of tax ditch right now. And this is the lower end. And you put more water on this end, guys backstream really going to pay for it.
Okay.
And,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chip. Go home tomorrow and tell him, say that you got to speak twice.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any questions? All right, then, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning, and we are going to stand in recess for 5 minutes.